Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
Good morning. The scripture is from Matthew 18, verse 15 through 20. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. May the Lord add his blessing to his word.
Pray with me if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern until we do something. Amen. The question this text asks is, what is the key to resolving conflict? A commentary I looked at suggested we find a way to name the issues that are troubling, then work together to resolve them. Of course, the difficulty is reaching consensus. For most of us, conflict resolution involves either yelling louder or perhaps bullying more effectively, neither of which is suggested in this teaching from Jesus. He says first to go in a quiet and private manner to talk with the one who has offended you. The word they use is sinned against you. Then take one or two of the leaders with you. Finally, he says, if neither of this works, take the leaders from the church and then treat them as a Gentile or a tax collector. In modern parlance, I suppose this would be someone outside your frame of reference. To those who do social media, unfriend them. But if we look at how Jesus moved and lived and breathed, he never gave up on the non-believer. He befriended, ate with tax collectors. So, what happens when conflict comes even to the church? I will tell you, the worst fight I ever witnessed was the Board of Trustees of the church of my upbringing, Garden Grove United Methodist Church. I was sitting in as a student pastor, and people I had known virtually my entire life got in the most fierce argument. I mean, almost to blows, but certainly very, very upset and adamant that they and they alone had the right answer. And the argument was about the color of the new carpeting for the sanctuary. So I made a note to myself, any carpet that is replaced in any church I serve, stay out of it. And every place I've served, we have had to replace the carpet. And I have never voiced a single opinion on that. Doesn't mean I haven't opened my mouth when I shouldn't have. It doesn't mean I haven't been called names I thought unthinkable. It means that I got it right a couple of three times. So let's look at these elements. We've sung about what perfect love looks like. Patty gave us a nice homily on what unity looks like. How, when we move away from God and away from a gathered community, we become less followers of Jesus. So unity is important. Forgiveness is essential, meaning not just being willing to forgive others of their flaws, but allowing ourselves to receive forgiveness. Understanding that we're not perfect, that we make mistakes, and being willing to understand that if we stand together, it's harder to stand apart. And looking for solutions that might be different than our own, not giving in necessarily, but resolving to give some room for discussion. That's the work of the church. That's what it means to be a family of faith. We need to find the right key. And in one of the commentaries I read, they had a story called The Unhackable Key. And most of us have stayed in a hotel or resort where they give you this little piece of plastic and you slide it over and a green light comes on and you're allowed to go in. Well, there's this pretty ritzy resort in Europe where somebody hacked their entire system and held the resort hostage until they paid a ransom. And the resolution for this hotel that had this wonderful passkey was to do away with that passkey and to go back to metal keys, which are costly and people lose them or sometimes steal them. So that was their resolution, rather than finding the right key. The right key for us is modeled in the way and work and wonder of Jesus. He showed us how to do this. When in doubt, we're called to love. And some of us are harder to love than others. I know this all too well about myself. But if we can forgive ourselves and forgive others, and in modern parlance, if we can cut each other some slack, we can do great things. We've suffered several national disasters, and more will come, and people will say, oh, it will take years and years and years, and it will, to recover. But people will recover because of their love, their kindness, their resilience. They will look beyond differences because they can and because their willingness to help others. A week from tomorrow, Ken Ellis, it will be one of the early responders for the disasters that have hit in Texas and Florida. And who knows where next? There's still another hurricane out there that's ready to hit land. If you ask Ken why he does this, he doesn't do it for the glory. He does it because he's called in his heart to help because he can. And we will have an opportunity to send him on his way with a few dollars so he can do something in the name of the faith that we proclaim that will help others. The right key begins with service. The right key begins with an act of love. So be it, and amen.